Interview would like to extend a very special invitation to meet Seals and Crofts in a 60-minute conversation brought to you by Kawasaki. I'm Jim Ladd, and Interview is a new concept in radio. Hello, I'm Jim Ladd, and I'd like you to meet two very serious musicians.
Hi, this is Jim Seals.
And this is Dash Crofts.
Listen for us when Interview takes a look at Seals and Crofts. Now you know why I don't talk.
Interview, brought to you by Kawasaki, is a new concept in radio. Hope you'll join us.
Good evening. This is Interview, a weekly program with the top artists in the contemporary field. It's not a critical outlook. It's truly what the name implies, an audio theatrical interview sponsored by Kawasaki Motorcycles. Interview is an intimate probing of the artist and his music, set in the most comfortable environment, so that everybody feels as at home as you do right now. This is a forum for each artist to speak his mind so that you might know and understand the music that's changed our lives. Now, for the next 60 minutes, sit back with host Jim Ladd as Kawasaki Motorcycles presents an interview of Seals and Crofts.
Good evening, everybody. How you doing? I'm Jim Ladd. Now, before we begin tonight's interview, I do want to set the situation and the environment for you a little bit so, you know, you'll be able to feel a bit more at home. Okay, first off the bat, I've got to cop to the fact that I arrived at Seals and Crofts manager's home, where we are to do this conversation, 2 hours late. But fortunately for me, their manager, Marcia Day, was out of town, so she'll never know. And also fortunately for me, both Jim Seals and Dash Crofts are very mellow and understanding people. So, after a great deal of crow eating on my part, we're about ready to begin. Now, Jim Seals had the flu at the time, and I, not being overly paranoid, sat on the extreme side of the room, started off the conversation, and about 10 minutes later, Dash Crofts walked in, and the ceremony was underway. So, we're going to begin now at the point where Dash Crofts comes in.
How you doing, Dash?
Hi, Jim. How you doing?
Good to see you again.
How are you?
And we'll go through our ritualistic apology of being 2 hours late.
Oh, no sweat. Well, I needed time, believe me.
We've been driving around on every freeway in California and finally figured out that we're 15 minutes away from it.
Oh, God.
I swear to God. No. Just blew our minds.
Oh,
horrible.
That's awful, man. This
I'm sorry about that.
Too. When you miss one turnoff, that's it. You go on for 100 miles,
yeah,
right?
Push that to
yourself.
Oh,
okay.
Bit of a level here.
Feet
untangled
here. When I meet them,
start off by asking you rather a pragmatic question. When a group does a greatest hits album, is that the group's decision or the record company's?
Well, it was more or less everybody's decision. The tunes were pretty evident which one should go on a greatest hits album.
Uh-huh.
I'm not too familiar with that part of the market. I didn't, you know, if anyone had told me that the album was going to do as well as it did, I would have told them they were crazy, because I just don't know anything about putting old tunes out. Usually we've been concerned with what's going to come out in the future. But I was very pleasantly surprised at how well it did. But we knew that Summer Breeze and Diamond Girl and those, the ones that had been singles, would be out. And then what we tried to do is to pick the ones that that the radio stations had programmed and that we felt like, you know, that would be the most popular of the ones that weren't singles to fill it out.
Diamond!
Jim Seals and Dash Crofts have been performing together for many, many years. And by doing this, they have become living exceptions to the rule, or should I say the norm. But then the entire Seals and Crofts approach to life, much less the music business, is one of the most unusual mixes of business and family in any field. Now, I think that you're going to discover that the product of not only the theory, but also the practice of what they say, we'll tell you a lot about these two musicians when Interview returns with Jim Seals and Dash Crofts. I'm Jim Ladd.
I'll pay for you. I'll pay for you. I'll pay for you.
Okay, I think we're back again. Jim, let me start again with you, and I'd like you to capsulize for me, if you could, your and Dash's involvement in the Anisha benefit. Can you do that for me?
Yeah. There's a guy, Dan Jordan, who we met about 8 years ago, mm-hmm. that's head of the Study for Human Potential at Amherst College, and he and a whole team of educators did a 14-year study of all of man's learning from the time when, as far back as that we got records of, and came up with the things that seemed to endure, the concepts of learning that seemed to endure all that time, and they used that as a base to start from. And the new educational system, they've discovered, they did a study of the human eye, and they would show students different pictures, and they found that when the human eye sees something that it doesn't like, that it contracts, and if it sees something that makes the person happy, it dilates. And most of the students that saw pictures of classroom or teacher or of themselves, the eye would contract. They didn't like the self vision that they had, or the vision of learning. And so they discovered that most of it is because learning is really a drag.
True.
The way the method that it's presented. And so the object in the new educational system is to make the learning fun. And it incorporates where the kid, as he learns, becomes a teacher also, teaches what he's learned to other students.
And it's based on the kind of, it has another wing, the nutritional side of it, that they found if you have a lack of vitamin B that you can't concentrate. So it's all tied in with the physical as well as the intellectual part of it.
Wish that I could wake again, days again, and I'm lost again. But this is my favorite time of day. Rachel comes to dry my tears away. This is our only time to play. This is my favorite time of day. Rachel, don't go.
Dash, let me ask you now, how did you become involved with the Guatemalan earthquake relief?
Well, we found out that there wasn't any way to move stuff there, from experiences before, we've heard about people trying to help out hunger-stricken places and things like that, and it always ends up, everything gets bogged down in red tape and they end up starving anyway. We figured the best way to handle it is get on the plane, take it down there ourselves and make sure it's there. Because medical supplies is what they need the most, medical supplies and doctors first of all, then food and water. So we just thought we can't make a very big dent in the thing, but at least we get a few doctors there, it'll be some help, and then figure out, now the plane's coming back and picking up a load of food and water and stuff and going back. Because there's five warehouses full of stuff right now that they haven't moved anything. Medical supplies, food, water, all the stuff that they need. Their water is becoming contaminated. They're having a threat of what's the disease?
Well, typhoid.
Typhoid, plague down there.
By the way, Richfield said that they would pay for the gasoline.
I heard, yeah, that's really great.
Yeah, they offered to get the gasoline.
I said they've never done that before either. It's really great.
That was a surprise, you know, from a big company like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind leaving that name in the show for doing that.
That's rare. It sure is, man. It's really rare.
Oh,
it's really.
You know, the thing that amazes me about you guys doing that and taking your plane and selling song and Richfield paying for the gas. It's someone saying, screw it, here's a plane, we'll fly it, you know, and just doing it rather than going through all the incredible crap that.
We just knew how much red tape we'd get into if we didn't do it that way. And we even had some red tape ourselves. We had, they said, well, your plane's not insured for out of country flights and things. So, there was a guy there that took care of it right away, just like that. And we fortunately got through that. And there was even a thing where it was a Friday, I think, that we planned to leave, or was it Saturday? It was a Friday, I believe.
I don't remember what day it was.
And we were dealing with Lords of London, I think, or something, and they said, there was this thing, like, I mean, what, there's 25,000 people dead and people dying and everything, and they said, well, the office doesn't open up until Monday, and we can't do this and do that, you know? So we took an insurance thing for less just to get there, and then...
Yeah, just a one-way thing.
A one-way thing, and then Monday, get the rest. But they wouldn't even consider doing that until it was suggested. And this is the kind of red tape I do not understand at all. The commercial airlines, for example, are willing to go down there and take a lot of things, but it's politics, it's bureaucracy that's keeping them from going down there right now. And to us, the only thing that's ever been important is the human life, you know. What's more important than the human life, you know, than all this red tape? It just drives you crazy. And I think a lot of other people feel the same way.
It's up every morning and lights upon the floor. Migrates to the washroom and he
the door. Never stops to notice that his shoes are full of lead. He's dead, too calm, labored breathing, he is seething. He's a sandwich of a fellow, an all-spread personality, so infected with disease of yellow dirt down in his soul. Last night a thousand stars were his to mold like clay, so in one split second's anger he did reach and dig a hole. He saw himself a castaway off on some kissing situation that would have made his father proud. He laughs out loud. He conceals the hurt. He reveals the dirt.
See, the problem is, though, that you can't really help anyone under the conditions. I mean, you can put in your 2 cents worth as far as making life better in the world. We're living in a time where we have what we call a nationalism. Everything in this country is designed to protect the people in this country from everyone else. In the other countries, it's designed to protect their people against the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. And as long as you have that, it's something that has to be balanced and built little by little. The great peace that's been talked of is something right now that is that the balance is so delicate. I mean, just push one button and that's it. We're all gone.
See, it's all based on justice too. Is if you went out and looked for justice today, you couldn't find it because it doesn't exist. That's something that's going to have to be built by all people of all nations of all the world. It's going to have to be put together by cooperative effort, I think. And that's why Jimmy says you can put a Band-Aid on the sore for now and ease it a little bit. But to get to the root of all these problems, it has to be, we have to put together a form of justice that's just to all people and all nations, we think.
Without getting into any heavy strokes here, I would like to say right now that personally, I find it damn refreshing to hear not only the words and intent of good feelings on these two gentlemen's part, but also to see the action that was taken. You know, here are two guys that said, all right, enough red tape, enough not doing. Me, personally, I'm going to do something about this situation, and that is exactly what they did. And I just thought I would say thanks, you know, for a lot of people. We'll be right back with Jim Seals and Dash Crofts in just a moment. When Interview returns, I'm Jim Ladd. Reasons for both Jim and Dash, not to mention the entire Seals and Crofts working family's interest and response to such problems as the Guatemalan earthquake and the Anisha education benefit, is contained, well, in a well-researched philosophy of life, a philosophy that centers around unity. And again, not only the idea, but also the practical application of that unity.
If you check into history, it's always been a smaller form of unity giving way to a larger one, and there's always been a great turmoil when that takes place, from tribal unity to city unity to states. Look at the great war between the states that formed nationhood. I mean, it was awful, the things that they went through. And now we're living in a world where when we make a decision here, as has been said many times, it affects people on the other side of the world. So eventually there has to be a planetary civilization. Mm-hmm. And anything, whether we like it or not, that stands in the way of that, eventually will fall under its own weight. It's everything we're using is defective in one way or another.
At least through all of this turmoil that's happening anyway, there's growth coming out of it. People are becoming more aware, yeah, of things like this Guatemala thing. I think a lot of people are really sympathetic and teed off about the fact that they can't get anything there, you know, just like we were. And it's a step toward that. The more things that happen like this, the more aware people are going to become, at least, you know. But like Jimmy said, the world has to go through this turmoil in order to become aware of it in the first place.
Well, can you give me some specifics then of what you two would change given the power? Is that, you know, pragmatically speaking?
Just for example, just think like of how simple it would be to not have to go anywhere and go through this passport dash. To have to go through money changing if we had a world monetary system. Can you imagine trying to figure business on a world level? It must be, it would have to drive you crazy. To have a world educational system, if you're going to school here and you want to go to France or someplace and take over, that you don't lose your credits, you can go out in and pick up your studies.
World language.
I mean, yeah, a world language where we can communicate. I mean, we say that we've really advanced, and in some way we have, but we're still in the dark ages.
Hey, I just had a great thought.
It would automatically bring us all closer together. The spiritual truths remain the same, but the social application of those spiritual truth changes. In other words, our concept of what life is and God and love and sex and birth and everything is completely different than those people thousands of years ago. And our responsibility is more. So we have to have, what we're trying to do now is to solve world problems using addition when we need calculus. It's the same thing. We need a governmental system that applies and will give justice to each individual and to everybody in the world. We need it so that the whole world is represented in this assemblage. And every attempt that's been made hasn't been effective because they haven't really followed the plan. You know, it's like the United Nations, for example. In the beginning, the concept of it is right, but they want it on their own terms. They're using it as a show place and a place to display their power and their various hostilities and things. But it's very slow and it's very, very painful. And I think that that more and more people everywhere are beginning to realize that that the Earth is one country. You know, that mankind is all, we're all one family. What we're doing, yeah, is we're witnessing the beginning of mankind being brought to its knees.
Do not scoff at love's bitter edges, for they in themselves bear witness to an age of bygone fancy, where tear-stained forest crushed into the evening without, for they were without the grass they love to touch and love to touch.
This is the transition period. The time that's been spoken of, it says that we're in what we call a springtime of a new world civilization. And in the springtime is when all the storms, the tornadoes and the hurricanes and everything, and when the farmer goes out and plows the ground and everything, and the earth really undergoes a tremendous upheaval to get ready for the new summer to come. And this is what the world is going through now. I mean, all of the countries that we've been in have, I mean, we've seen England, for example. When we were in England about 6 or 7 months ago, they were almost calling for a new government. They're bankrupt. I mean, everyone is going through the same thing. So now then is the time that these new seeds and new concepts of what a planetary civilization, a world civilization can be, is when people's hearts are most receptive to that.
See, it's very difficult, excuse me, it's very difficult for us to talk about all the things we talk about very reflective about them, because we're looking at it all from a different viewpoint, because we've investigated, we've discovered for ourselves that Baha'u'llah is a prophet of God. He is one that came. There's many people who have claimed to be prophets, but we've investigated all those also, and we found out for ourselves through intensive study, through statistics, through history, through all kinds of things, that it's actually true. Now, if you're explaining things to people from that viewpoint, it's different to the people you're explaining it to. And that's one thing I've always been a bug on. I never could continue along with something unless it added up. 2 and 2 makes 4, 4 and 4 makes 8,
yeah.
You know.
This very special interview of Seals and Cross will be back, and when it does, I hope you're going to be ready, because we're going to be on the move. I'll tell you a bit more about that when interview returns. I'm Jim Ladd. Well, by this time, because of my lack of promptness in arriving 2 hours late, it's past dinner time, and both Jim and Dash, who have been in the studio all day long, and not to mention that they're not feeling so well, have become, well, something more than hungry. Of course, a lot of people would have excused themselves at this point and just let them go about eating their dinner in peace. Of course, that's most people. There were still a lot of questions and subjects that I wanted to cover, so...
Just four of us.
All they do is they say, look, we've been commissioned
Well, I think we can probably make other arrangements. I just wanted to find out whether it was being used or not. Oh, well, that's all right. We'll be in later then. Fine. Thank you very much. Bye bye. They're having a Shriners convention there. You know how noisy they are. Good Lord.
Well, by now I'm sure you've guessed what's about to happen. I pack up the tape recorder, and I follow these guys down to a small coffee shop, all of this gear, microphones, wires, every place, where we find a table in the back, and through the coffee and veal parmesan, we try to continue.
And a nose, I guess. I don't think we'd be able to get through the interview without laughing. Probably not. Yes, I did. How do you do? You just figured out a new technique in recording.
Dash, if you could, or let me put it to you another way, if you dare, could you give me a brief personality sketch on Jimmy, please?
Let's see. Well, I'm very intelligent. Now, Jimmy.
Let's see. Jimmy, of course, you can bring up the fact that he's been eating a salad with his hand.
All right. I might not have much class, but I've got a lot of it. No, that's one of the character differences. I'm a little more moody with my dress, I think, you know, than Jimmy. Like, I got dressed up to come down to this restaurant, as you can see. but I don't know, I get a different mood every day. It might be my sign, I don't know, but every day I have an urge to wear something different, you know. And then sometimes I have an urge to wear something all the time. Jimmy dresses pretty consistently all the time, you know what I mean?
Tasteless.
Tasteless.
We've always been very different as far as personalities are concerned. Dash has always been more, I think, more outgoing than I have. I've always...
He's your son, isn't he?
Jimmy likes to beat his kids. I don't beat my kids.
It's so funny. Louis Shelton was saying the other day, he was laughing. He said, Jimmy, he said, you know the difference between you and I. He says, I'm nice to everyone. And I go home and beat my wife. And he says, you're terrible to everyone. And you go home and you worship your wife. You're terrible to everybody else.
You know, I'll tell you, one of the things that I've always admired about you both is the two fine ladies that you have. Because let's face it, that, you know, the light is shining on you two guys. And the few times that I have met them, I've never gotten that vibe of, you know, well, keep it in mind that we are the wives of Seals and Cross. You know, there's none of that garbage and crap. And that's just a very nice thing to see that you all get along so well.
Yeah, it's so much so that I keep asking Billy, am I a star yet? Am I a star yet? No, but it's really nice, you know, because it doesn't... I enjoy it that way. I'm a person that becomes conspicuous very easily. I don't like to be conspicuous at all, you know, as you can see when I go into a restaurant for everybody to look, you know.
Well, the only thing that's conspicuous to me at all, Dash, was the tattoo of the gold record that you have. That was a little...
Well, other than that,
perfect. Other than that, he's... Right. Real simple guy.
Where it started, can't even remember. Just one day you were there. A funny little girl in your tie-dyed and cut-offs, wondering who you were. Down from Miami with my cool and social art, but I ended up awkward, and I guess in this trouble I must have lost my heart. Wow.
I like bills and diapers and TV and watching this world spin around.
Sometimes you'll have a favorite tune before you go in, and that tune will be the worst one on the album, and the one that you didn't even hardly notice because you're so close to it really makes a good record. Mm-hmm. And we've had that happen several times. That song he was talking about there was, we never even thought about it. No one else did. No one ever asked about it or anything. Yeah. And yet now when we talk to people, they say, gosh, that's one of my favorite things off the album.
Mm-hmm. What, in your opinion, is your best work so far? All the things you've done.
Well, I put together this little model ship one time that was...
you know what I'm saying? Give me white light to be on.
No.
He's still in the tequila. He thinks that's the best
track
they've ever
done. No, I thought that was pretty good work. Let's see. It's really a hard question every time it's asked because I have favorite things on different albums that we've done. I think one of my favorite albums to this day is Down Home because it was recorded a long time. It was the second album we ever did together. It's now in a package as Seals and Cross 1 and 2, but originally it was called Down Home. And it had a certain spirit to it that was really nice. Most of the stuff was done live in a studio. And then there's some songs like off of other albums, the Diamond Girl album, for example, that wasn't a single, that was some of my favorite songs. Like there's one that's called, what's the one that goes, it's going to come down on you, right? Yeah.
Every once in a while, a tune will come out that just knocks people right over. And one, you know, We May Never Pass This Way Again, I think, related Ruby Jean and Billy Lee to a lot of people, became like their song, you know what I'm saying? Because it just hits something. Mm-hmm. Do you ever really feel that you've imparted something on this person at a one-to-one level in Ohio?
More of We May Never Pass This Way Again because we felt like when we were writing the song that we were not only speaking to the rest of the people, but to ourselves too, remind ourselves, you know, about this life and everything. Whereas Ruby Jean and Billy Lee was more of a song to our wives, and we were really surprised when other people took it on as their song. But the other one was kind of planned. We figured that we'd be able to convey that this life is beautiful, we should laugh and have a good time, struggle, you know, whatever is necessary, but not to treat it so lightly.
Life, so they say, is but a game and they let it slip away. Love, like the autumn sun, should be dying, but it's only just begun. Like Columbus in the olden days, we must gather all our courage, sail our ships out on the open sea, cast away our fears, and all the years will come and go. Thank you.
Ladd in our interview of Seals and Cross. We'll return right after this.
Jim, from the days of small club gigs, you know, to the multi-thousand seat halls, what was the biggest turning point in your careers?
Well, we weren't able to do some of the tunes on the stage because of the instrumentation. Some of them needed drums and things to get the right dynamics out of. So we were kind of limited to playing tunes that sounded good with three pieces. And he would be, you know, beating the mandolin, and I'd be slapping the guitar, trying to make up what drums were supposed to sound like. And Bobby, of course, our bass player, he was playing tambourine with his foot and harmonica with his mouth and bass. So then when we started playing larger halls, we were touring with groups like Chicago and real big groups, and we would be like three little ants on the stage, and you could not even see us, much less hear us. And so we started wanting to play some other things, just simply to have a variety in the concert. And I think we might have gone a little overboard in that direction, because most people still like to hear just the two of us, the man and the guitar. They like that best. But it all depends on what kind of material that you're doing. We write tunes that sound good with just two pieces, and then other ones that need a whole orchestra for it to sound right.
Darling, if you want me to be closer to you, get closer to me.
Get closer. Wasn't there some discussion as to the title you were going to use, Red Long Ago or something?
I think we finally have we have two tentative titles. As we had one, Red Long Ago, which is a title of one of the songs, and another one is Get Closer. I think it might be Get Closer in the long run, because we've had a lot of artwork done and a lot of ideas done on Red Long Ago. And it all seems to kind of flow in with the image that's been portrayed all throughout the 6-7 years of Seals and Cross, and we kind of want to change that to a refreshing, maybe a new feel or a new look to Seals and Cross. So with Get Closer, we have more freedom to go in different directions, and we have some really great photographs and things that have been done on that concept so far that look really exciting.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, in reality, maybe it's a bit better in the long run that you didn't call the album Red long ago, especially during the bicentennial year, because I'm sure that, you know, you'd have been accused of spreading communism or something. Or that kind of,
right.
You know, red, what do you, who knows? At that point.
True, true. That's possible. Yeah, you got to find those loopholes. Right.
That's what Marcia does.
Look that up.
Right. Communist many years ago.
Looks
said the ocean breezes blow, red in the sun, red so long ago, torn by the waves, blown by the wind, gone like the tide.
It's a story about a young couple that meet on the beach, and in the evening, you know, when the sun is going down and the beach is all red from the sunset, and they have this meeting, I guess, probably in the summertime, and then that's the last that they see of one another, and he's telling her in the story that it's not finished, that he'll see her again. I don't think any of the songs in the album is what you would call a major innovation or anything like that. It's just some things that we wanted to do and have kind of gotten pushed back each time.
Before saying goodnight, first I want to thank Marcia. Thank you, Marcia. And I'd like to also thank both Jim Seals and Dash Cross for not only their beautiful and inspirational music, but also for the examples that they have become. Two very clear examples of what can be done when people really do make their actions speak louder than their words, no matter how powerful the amplification. And to me, that is the most inspirational quality of this combination called Seals and Cross. I'm Jim Ladd.
Doesn't it all get down to purpose? What is a purpose, eventually? I mean, for example, if all of these things exist and we see that they exist, what is the end result? I mean, is it darkness or a grave or worms or, you know? I mean, this is what kept me going and looking for an answer to things. What is the final outcome? Is this earth all there is to... I've seen people grow up to 6 years old and die of a heart attack because they had a hole in their heart. And I think, wait a minute, you know.
Hold on.
It's here and gone. Is that it? Is that all that's left? And that's what kept me going. What is the purpose for it all? And through all of this investigation, I found out that there is a great purpose for men. This is only the beginning of a purpose. And that the whole purpose is, well, it's a twofold purpose. One is what we're talking about is for man to finally evolve to a state where it's all a one family unit, just like our body is a unit. If we get a cut on our leg, every antibiotic thing goes to that spot to help that cure itself. And that's the way a human race should be, I think. The other is to know... is to know our own reality and where we're going, where we're headed for, what is destined for us, each as individuals and collectively both. And that interested me a lot, you know.
In the human kingdom here, we can see all of the animals, the plants, the minerals. We understand everything below us, but we don't know anything about the things above us. Now, if you study it long enough, it becomes almost illogical to think that there's not something above if there's so many things below.
Don't you ever stop the music, let your spirit set you free. Now hear the band, hear the band. You can sing and stop the beat and clap your hands. These few moments we share together, and now
Interview would like to thank Marcia Day, a truly great lady, and of course all the good folks at Warner Brothers Records. Interview is written and produced by Jack Morris and Jim Ladd, engineering by Van Webster at the Hope Street Studio. You've been listening to Interview, a concept of sound communications, a forum for the top recording artists to speak their mind so that you might know and understand the music that's changed our lives. Interview is sponsored by Kawasaki Motorcycles. Next week, we'll be bringing you more of the same. So join Jim Ladd for Interview, a new concept in radio.